The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Sonia Usech Kuhn of the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to another edition of Community Connections. Every month I will introduce you to people in the community who are making a difference. My guests today are Christine Duquet and Jerry Stalls. Let me tell you a little bit about Jerry. He was born in Washington, an eastern North Carolina town. He attended Appalachian State and graduated with a degree in rehabilitation counseling. Jerry worked for the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation. He oversaw several programs for developmentally disabled folks. He assisted physically challenged individuals for competitive employment from 1973 to 1985. On his own, he opened up a branch of medical equipment shop in Raleigh for a company out of Florence, South Carolina. He and his wife, Deb, opened Stalls Medical on April 2, 1990, providing complex rehab equipment, namely custom manual and power mobility. Currently, there are four branches across North Carolina in Greenville, Cary, Greensboro, and Charlotte. Stalls Medical, Inc. opened up another corporation called Adaptive Vans, Inc. to assist their customers with accessible vehicles, hand controls, and other accessories to enable people with transportation needs. Simultaneously, they expanded services comprising of home modifications, which include vertical platform lifts, stair glides, ceiling-mounted track systems to facilitate transfers, and roll-in showers. Next April, they will celebrate 30 years of improving the quality of life of those they serve. Jerry and Deb have been married 44 years. They have two sons, Kaysen and Caleb. Jerry's hobbies include golf, fishing, walking, and most of all, playing with his three granddaughters. Now, here's something about Christine Duquet, the Director of Development for Central North Carolina with the ALS Association North Carolina Chapter, located on Blount Street in downtown Raleigh. In this role, Christine manages all aspects of development, including peer-to-peer fundraising, special events, and corporate partnerships. A big believer in the power of volunteerism, Christine has found ways in each of her positions to encourage people to participate in fundraising and advocacy efforts, to give what they can, and to recruit friends and family to help maximize the impact. In 2016, Christine founded the ALS Association North Carolina Chapter's Ambassador Program, which provides specialized training for volunteers learning to represent the chapter in the community. To date, more than 40 ambassadors work to expand awareness about ALS and the association. Christine also launched many programs, which she will share with us a little later on in the program. She coordinates the Triangle Walk to Defeat ALS, which brings together more than 3,000 participants every year to celebrate progress, honor those we have lost, and give hope to people living with ALS and their friends and families. In 2019, the Triangle Walk raised more than $390,000. She holds a Bachelor of Science degree in Human Development and Family Studies from UNC Greensboro. She and husband Andy live in Cary with Gus, their six-month-old adopted son. She loves discovering new and interesting things to do in North Carolina, is a dance aerobics enthusiast, and performs when possible with an amateur Masala Bhangra dance group. Did I get that right? Yes. Well, so glad to have both of you with me this morning on Community Connections. Let me begin with Christine. Please, if you would, give our listeners an overview of amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease, after the famed and beloved Yankee baseball player.
Thank you so much, Sonia. So ALS was first found in 1869 by a French neurologist, but it really wasn't until 1939 that Lou Gehrig brought attention to the disease. And of course, it ended his career, but the disease is still most closely associated with his name. ALS is a progressive neurodegenerative disease that affects nerve cells in the brain and the spinal cord. And the progressive degeneration of the motor neurons in ALS eventually leads to their death. When the motor neurons die, the brain can no longer talk to and control muscles, and with voluntary muscle action getting worse over time, people with ALS lose their ability to talk, eat, walk, and then, of course, in later stages of the disease, they may become totally paralyzed. ALS does not discriminate, so people of all ages can get ALS, although mostly between the ages of 40 and 70. It's slightly more prevalent in men than women, but of course, with the increasing age of people, the incidence is becoming more equal between men and women. Only about 10% of ALS cases are inherited, so that means 90% occur sporadically without any kind of family history. The cause of ALS is not clear at diagnosis. People living with ALS are often told they will live only another 3 to 5 years. There is no cure, and at this point, very few effective treatments for ALS.
So, Christine, your description paints a picture of a cruel and debilitating disease, an out-of-the-blue punch to the person diagnosed. It also makes a challenging impact on family and friends. How does the chapter offer guidance to the person and their family?
Mm-hmm. We have quite a few programs and services for people living with ALS and their families. We are most proud of our connection groups. Those are support groups every month across the state of North Carolina for people living with ALS, their caregivers, friends, and families, encouraging people to share connections with each other and educating people. It's sort of an informal support network, if you will, within the ALS community. We also have a new peer support program that connects people living with ALS and their caregivers with others who have experienced the same sorts of things. Again, eventually it's a sort of informal support network, providing each other with non-professional kind of guidance and support. We have a grant program twice a year. $750 is available to families living with ALS for expenses that are not covered by insurance. This is a very expensive disease, so every little bit helps. We also have a loan closet of durable medical equipment with rollator walkers, manual wheelchairs, power wheelchairs, and that's actually managed by our friends at Stahls Medical. Get to hear from Jerry in just a second. We also fund all five ALS clinics in North Carolina. That's where people living with ALS receive targeted care from a multidisciplinary team of professionals. Helps people to live longer, more quality lives.
Well, thank you. It's encouraging to know that there's help out there for the person diagnosed and their families. So I'd like to turn now to speak a little bit to Jerry, whose facilities and staff respond to the needs of folks with ALS. So, Jerry, maybe you can just walk us through what transpires when perhaps the first time a husband and wife first enter your facility.
Well, first, thank you for having us here today. We have had a 19-year history working with the ALS Association and patients who have a diagnosis of ALS. Typically, we work with patients that either come through the clinics. There are five clinics currently in North Carolina: Greenville, North Carolina; Duke; Greensboro; Winston-Salem and Charlotte; and UNC. And Dan Harrison works with the Greenville and the Duke Clinic, and Jason Parsons works with the Winston-Salem Clinic and the UNC, and then Derek Johnson helps out at the Charlotte Clinic. And typically, if a person were to come into one of our four branches, we would educate them if they're unaware about these clinics where they could possibly connect and receive multiple services through these clinics.
Okay. So, Christine, our wide audience of people who are blind are well aware of daily encounters that others do not have to face. So here's my one of my signature three-part questions. this will give you an opportunity to speak to some of the programs that you've developed. As I told our audience, you would be telling them about. So I would like to ask you to speak about Feasts for Families, Corporate Partnerships, and the Ambassador Program, and how they relate to people with living with ALS.
We are very proud of these programs. I'm very proud to have been able to work with all kinds of amazing volunteers on these things. So our Feast for Families program allows people in our community to donate towards a gift card for a Thanksgiving meal for a family dealing with ALS. This year, we gave 66 gift cards to families to help make their Thanksgiving celebrations feel like less of a burden. We have, of course, a whole lot of corporate support in our communities. Five statewide corporate partners, including Stahls Medical, Professional Healthcare Incorporated, Pepsi, Med Emporium, Harris Teeter. Ooh, actually six. We have Quantum now as well. And we have lots of local sponsors, of course, too. Corporate support enables us to fund all of the ALS clinics in North Carolina, lead advocacy efforts that address and protect the unique needs of people living with ALS, and, of course, fund cutting-edge research worldwide. Our ambassadors are volunteers who are specially trained to represent ALS Association North Carolina chapter in the community. They go to health fairs. They give presentations at civic organizations. They do check presentations, all kinds of amazing things for us to help spread awareness, of course, about the disease, but also about the good works of the association. Really.
Just let me interrupt you.
Yes, please.
Just, I want to interject some of the places that you do it, or describe how one of the places receives you.
Understood. Jerry actually might be able to speak more to that than me, because Jerry Stahls is an ambassador himself. I'm trying to think of a good example. I think a health fair is probably one of the things we get asked to do most frequently, or a nonprofit fair. So we set up a table with all of the information about our programs and services, and then, of course, about ways that people can get involved with us, so how they can donate money to the cause, how they can volunteer for us, maybe eventually become an ambassador themselves, the events that we have going on in all over North Carolina. Honestly, we have six major markets where we have our walks. And yeah, it's I don't know, Jerry, do you have anything to add to that?
Sure. Well, I would simply say that having served for several years now as an ambassador, it's very gratifying to when Caterpillar or IBM or the Postal Service has an employee that's diagnosed with ALS, and they want to rally around that person and learn more about how they can support that individual, how they can support the North Carolina chapter. And so I go to these health fairs and attend other events where they're trying to support an employee, and the goal is to try to raise awareness, try to get them to participate in the walks, and just create energy toward trying to come up with a cure.
Thanks. Thanks for adding that, Jerry. I'm sorry to have interrupted you. So you just
keep telling us. No, I mean, the bottom line really is that all of these programs work together. In fact, everything we do supports the families we serve. And at the end of the day, feeds back into the discovery of effective treatments and a cure for ALS. The idea is we are trying to keep
folks who have ALS living longer, again, more quality lives, so they can participate in clinical research programs, which, again, you know, that's where we're going to find these effective treatments. That's where inevitably we're going to find the cure. So all of the things kind of working together to get there.
So you mentioned 66 families who had a Thanksgiving Day feast. Where were they located? Throughout North Carolina?
Yes.
How'd you find them?
Mm-hmm. Throughout North Carolina. So we have a awesome team of care services staff people who go to clinic and get to have this FaceTime with people living with ALS to make sure they know about all the resources we provide, to let them know about how they can get involved in the chapter's good works. And if their families and friends want to do something, honestly, a lot of times people feel powerless with this diagnosis. Their friends and family want to do something to help, and getting involved with a chapter is a beautiful way to feel empowered, like they're doing something. So, the Thanksgiving meals were identified by our care services team, since they are the folks who have the most contact with these families. They could help us figure out who had the most need, and then get that info back to the people who were gonna make the meals happen for them. So, yeah.
Do any supermarkets like Harris Teeter, do they contribute a turkey?
They have in the past. We actually had Harris Teeter do all of the meals for us last year. This year, there were a lot of logistical things that went into it. We needed to change the program up. So it was a little different. It was a crowdsourcing project this year. So we took to the internet and, of course, email sent out to everybody that we had an email address for. Hey, if you want to be a part of this, you know, contribute your money, $75 if you can do it, because that's what the cost of the meals were, but any amount is certainly welcome. You know, we want to do these meals for as many of our families impacted by ALS as possible, and it went over like gangbusters, if you can imagine.
Well, that's great, and that's good to know that somebody had an enjoyable meal, and more important to know that people were thinking about them.
Exactly.
All right, Jerry, you're up. You're at bat now for my three-part question.
Okay.
There are many other illnesses that people are diagnosed with from birth or due to genetics or accidents that also call for special equipment. So talk about the patients that you serve, perhaps someone born with scoliosis, someone's life caught by a motor vehicle or other kind of accident, like Christopher Reeve, mm-hmm. other organizations you work with, and thirdly, your role as an ALS ambassador, which you've touched on, but you can expand if you wish.
Sure. Well, we work with a wide range of people with physical disabilities. And typically, when we're contacted, we work with 9 rehab centers and numerous seating clinics. And currently, the system operates where if a person is being diagnosed and a recommendation is made for either a manual or a power wheelchair, they would typically go through a seating clinic. So a representative from Stahls Medical would work with a physical therapist and the physician, and there's a sort of a multidisciplinary team, and the process yields a recommendation. The letter of medical necessity is generated, and then we submit that to the insurance company for approval. We work extensively with the VA for veterans that may necessitate a van, need a van, as well as the general public. We also provide accessories like hand controls, wheelchair securement systems, which is referred to as an easy lock, transfer seats. And then in regards to home modifications, a lot of times people will contact us, and either by disease or trauma, someone is in a chair and they need to make some changes to their home to make it accessible. And in many instances, you really don't have to spend a lot of money to be able to enter the home through the garage with a vertical platform lift or a stair glide. We do a lot of ceiling-mounted track lifts to facilitate transfers.
And some people don't know what a transfer is.
Well, for a person that maybe would be transferring over from their wheelchair into bed or either on a toilet or in the in a tub, a lot of times we'll go in and remove a tub and put a roll-in shower in, which would make bathing and taking care of their toiletries a little easier.
Right. So
in addition to custom manual and power wheelchairs, commonly referred to as complex rehab, we're also an adaptive sports provider in North Carolina. So wheelchair tennis, quad rugby, hand pedal biking, a wide range of sports. So if a person becomes disabled and they were passionate about playing tennis, there's no need to give that sport up. You can still enjoy that sport. You're just doing it from a sitting position. So we have a long history of trying to improve the quality of people's lives. And if a person does have interest in an adaptive sport, we love to connect them with others in the community, and they can participate and continue to enjoy that sport.
That's great. So it's support and supportive.
Correct.
At the same time.
Going back and just expanding a little bit on the ambassador, I just feel in my heart of hearts that a cure is possible, but it's very important to raise awareness and to continue to push as hard as we can forward to educate people about all the advances that are being made, particularly from the Ice Bucket Challenge. I think there was like $200 million raised, and that accelerated the research, and just some wonderful advances were made in trying to identify some of the aspects of this disease that hopefully will lead to a cure. So in that role, it's been gratifying, and I compliment Christine for, creating that entity, and it's really helped to go out and meet people. And people that you see at these events, when you see their face at the walks, mm-hmm. and they smile at you, and it makes you feel like, hey, we're all working together toward a common purpose.
Absolutely. Thank you. So you have shared your thoughts about volunteerism and how important it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people hang back sometimes. They're afraid to get involved. But I imagine that you have a lot of volunteers that are part of helping toward the cure. Okay. So I am going to bring up the ice bucket again, because in the recent past, and that was about 5 years ago, the bucket challenge went viral, and it raised sums of money, grand sums of money, for ALS research. So I would like a comment from both of you, particularly on the Ice Bucket Challenge, if you have anything to say about that. I think it was they tried to resurrect it a little bit mm-hmm. recently, but also like to have a big focus on the chapter fundraiser, the ALS Walk to Defeat ALS. So I want you to tell Christine people about that walk and how they can come and join us in April.
Absolutely. Well, I'll talk just a little bit about Ice Bucket Challenge very quickly. So in 2014, that was the first year that Ice Bucket Challenge really took off specifically to raise awareness and funds for ALS. And that was because of Pat Quinn and Pete Frates. Those two had ALS and credited for taking that viral, you know, having it go wide. And it did raise $115 million. It helped the ALS Association increase their capacity to invest in research, technologies, and care and service for people with ALS. 300 research grants were awarded to 200 scientists. We had 33 new drug trials and discovered 5 new genes, associated with ALS. So what came out of Ice Bucket Challenge is just insane. Unfortunately, Pete Frady's actually passed away just a couple days ago at the age of 43. So while we're so grateful, of course, to Pete, I know we're going to miss him terribly, and everyone who participated in Ice Bucket Challenge, we still have a lot more work to do. And that's where the walks come in. The Walk to Defeat ALS is an amazing day. Of course, you know, in the months leading up to it is where we raise our money. It is a peer-to-peer fundraiser, which means that we have teams that have individuals that are asking their friends, family, companies to make contributions. And all of that comes together to just raise a ton of money. Again, last year, $390,000, 3,000 people. It's going to be on Saturday, April 18th. At Halifax Mall in downtown Raleigh. If anyone would like to join us, of course, would love to hear from them. My email address is christine@alsnc.org. More information can be found at alsnc.org.
So we have a few more minutes left. Jerry, do you go to the walk?
what a question. We're at every walk. Yeah. And it is such a positive atmosphere to see just a great crowd come together, and as I said before, for a common purpose. And I'm confident that that we'll all celebrate one day when there is a cure, and it'll be the best day I can imagine. So
the people from ABC always attend in honor and in memory of Larry Stogner. And unfortunately, there are quite a few people like Sam Shepard, the actor who passed away from ALS. So you're right. It can hit anybody. Mm-hmm. Anybody.
Exactly. But it's a very hopeful time for the ALS community. There's a lot going on. And as Jerry said, you know, we at the association agree 100%. We can do this thing. We just need the support of the community.
Okay. I want to thank you very much both for being such gracious guests and to be able to, with a hopeful voice, discuss such a difficult topic, such a horrendous disease. But with people like you, I am certain that a cure is on its way. So thank you both again.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for raising awareness.
Yes, we want the people in the community to know what's going on. And there's a lot with all of the programs that Christine's
involved
in. That's
for sure. We're staying busy.
So thank you for spending this last half hour with me and Community Connections. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments, questions, or would like to be a sponsor of Community Connections, please call 919-832-5111. I'm Sonia Usach-Kuhn. See you next time on the radio.